Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Comic Chronicle Podcast, a Nerd with Balls production. I am your host, Dakota Morgan, coming from Phoenix, Arizona. That's right, folks. We have, if you click the title, you know who's on. But Nick Wolfhard is on the show. Fucking cool dude. He really is. Fellow nerd. We geek out a little bit here. We talk about, you know, finding that passion in maybe a dark moment. And we talk about that moment in his life. We talk about voice acting. We talk about the acting, voice acting industry in general. Anime. Obviously, we talk about the graphic novel adaptation of The Last Kids on Earth on Netflix right now, to say the least. We talk about that. You know, it's a fun conversation. And if you guys like the show, please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or comiccronicle.podbean.com. It helps us greatly. Leave a review and make sure you guys share the show. Make sure you check out Nick's stuff too. And at the end, when you get his information to follow on Twitch and whatnot, go check him out, folks. It's very helpful. And without further ado, our conversation with Nick Wolfhard. And we're recording. Nick, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Sorry, I don't know why I said it like that.
Dude, you're good. I know you've done so. You've done a lot recently, and you've obviously had a big show drop. Congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. Lots of press.
Oh, fuck. I've been a part of the press circuit only, I think, two or three different times of doing press for different movies and such, for stuff I've worked on in the business, I guess you could say. And it's always a pain in the ass. Are you surviving it at all?
Yeah, no, I'm doing okay. Yeah. I think the worst it got when I was at the It Chapter 2 premiere. I mean, not that it wasn't, like, a great opportunity, because it was, but I gotta tell you, man, it is really exhausting to just give the same answers over and over again to, like, you know, different press outlets. Like, it was like a literal line. Oh. It was like speed dating almost. You go from, like, one person for, like, a minute and a half to another person for a minute and a half, and you gotta make sure, you know, you please everyone, you know, you talk to them, give them something good to work with, give them something good to write up on, and that part's not tiring. It's just, you know, saying the same thing over and over again with slight variations. And, you know, like, you do that for, like, like 20 minutes straight. And it just, oh, man, it's like you're walking, and you only move just a little bit from minute to minute. So, I prefer doing, like, phone interviews or email interviews to that. But my brother did tell me that I'm better at interviews than he is, so...
Really?
I do appreciate that.
Well, that's a plus.
Yeah, so it looks like thank you. Yeah, well, I mean, I guess, like, it's pulling off somehow, so...
I think it's the patience thing, and honestly, the speed dating reference is 100% on point, but it also is it's like a YouTube video that buffers weird, and it repeats itself over and over again. It's just a complete lag.
Where you have to, like, go ahead and, you know, rewind it, like, 10 seconds to, you know, in order for it to continue, but then it just gets caught at the exact same point in time where you got caught before, so you gotta go back and do it again. Yeah, that.
I think there's a saying for this. It's our first world problems, man.
I don't even think... This isn't even first world problems at this point. This is, like... This is a level above that. Like, this is the most minuscule crap problem.
It's true.
Like, it doesn't matter. The fact that I'm complaining about it, I shouldn't be complaining about it. In fact, I should be considering myself lucky. So, yeah.
Maybe, but, you know, everybody has their own problems, I guess you could say. Like, it's one of those things, especially in our realm that we work in and whatnot, that the film industry, we have our own problems, we have our own things and whatnot. I mean, myself as an actor, as director and writer and such, like, we have our own, like, today's been a writing day, and it's like, oh, I gotta stay inside and write all day. Oh, shit, you know? It's like... Oh, so
I always end up, yeah, no, I know what you mean. I've been a bit of a hermit recently.
Really?
Staying inside because, yeah, you know, I have been doing a lot of phone interviews, and I have been, you know, either doing, like, auditions. I actually have to do an audition after I'm done this interview, and then there's other stuff too involved in that. But yeah, it's like hang out with my friends more.
It's true.
Staying inside too much.
Did you ever hear that pop song? I can't play it due to legal issues. But there's a pop song of, like, it basically talks about, and I related to it hard. And try to give it a Google if you can. And it came out, I think, maybe 2-3 years ago, man. And it was talking about how you're always making music. And we still relate to it, even though it's making music. You're always making music, but you still have to have time to find your friends.
Who's it by?
I don't know. That's what's fucking killing me. It's, I don't know. And I just thought about, I was listening to it. It came on my Pandora the other day when I was listening, working on a project. And I'm like, oh my God.
And you know what the song is called?
No, God, I wish I could. I think if you give the Google of that and just maybe go in like a diving hole for like 5-10 minutes, maybe like,
yeah,
I think you can find it because it's really relatable. And it's one of those things where it really opens your mind and you're like, oh shit, this song is telling me what I have to do.
I got an idea.
What you got?
Hey, if there are any listeners listening to this podcast, if you know what song we're talking about, please send a message to Dakota here, and then maybe, or send a message to me on Twitter. Maybe we can solve this mystery together.
Oh, please. There's a few thousand of you. Come on now. Let's do this. Like, really. It can't be that difficult. Now,
Do you have Shazam on your phone?
I do not, actually.
Oh, Shazam is great. It saved my ass a couple times finding out what the song is.
I definitely have to. It's one of those things I have to do. But I got to tell you, man, is we're late on a little more level here in the sense of you're a fellow gamer. And I definitely got to say, like, that's fucking amazing. Like, what have you been gaming recently, dude?
Okay. Oh, man. I've been doing quite a few things. Ooh. I've been going back and forth between old stuff and new stuff. Borderlands 3 just came out, so I'm doing that. Mm. Let me think what else. Final Fantasy 9, I'm Ooh. Playing through that right now. Yakuza 0. The Yakuza games are great. They're made by Sega. They're kind of like the Grand Theft Auto games, but they're more beat 'em up and they're set in Japan.
Oh shit. All right. That was
it's awesome and it's hilarious. And I think the last two I'm really going at right now are the new Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening remake. Ooh. I think that's really it, right? Oh, and Astral Chain.
Oh, okay.
The new Platinum game made by the guys who make Bayonetta and all that. Yeah, that game's really good too.
Damn.
So I'm playing a bunch of stuff right now, rotating. I just gotta, get the time.
It's not a personal question, man, but it's one of those of the sense, like, with the stuff we do and whatnot, don't you find sometimes just playing games, and sometimes with your friends, too, as I try to do with my friends, it seems to be, like, the ultimate stress reliever, almost?
My idea of a good time is, I'm not a party guy, so I don't like going to clubs, I don't like, going out in, like, loud areas. My idea of having fun my idea of a party is, it's like a cold winter night or something. I invite like 4 or 5 friends over. We get a bunch of drinks. We play Smash Brothers. And maybe watch a movie. That's like my idea of a good time.
Honestly, I relate hard. That is the ideal thing to do. Like, that's the ideal good time.
I've got enough friends who are like, yeah, hell yeah, that sounds nice. So, I remember one time I was with one of my friends, and he introduced me to a lot of his other friends, and one of his other friends was actually someone I went to preschool with.
Ooh.
And I knew and I knew who he was immediately because of his hair. And that night we just watched like this like bizarre it was like some sort of reality show on MTV from like 2004. But the great thing about it is it had like old commercials attached to it, like not edited out or anything. So I was totally disinterested in the reality TV show, and I would just come back anytime like some commercials were on. Because honestly, a lot of that was more entertaining than the show.
Damn.
So that was a lot of fun, yeah.
There's a thing, I did it, I mean, I'm only 22. How old are you, man?
You're only 22?
Yeah.
Like, you're my age?
Oh, really? Oh, shit. I thought maybe you were younger.
Because you sound like way older.
I get that a lot.
Sorry, I don't mean to be rude.
No, you're not rude. Honestly, I get that a lot. That's why I usually play older guys when I do voice acting stuff. And it's why the Navy contacted me for a commercial. They're like, you have a deep sounding voice. And I was like 20 at the time. Like, okay, I'm a kid, but sure.
I'm 21. I'm turning 22 next month. So like, we're in the same boat here.
Well, happy early birthday, man.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, and I.
Hey, actually, you know what? It's at the day of recording this. It's actually my mom's birthday.
Happy birthday,
Mary Chalvet.
Happy birthday.
So, Mom, if you're listening to this, happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday from all of us and all the fans. We love you. Without you, we wouldn't have him here, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, shit.
I thought since, you know, we're bringing up birthdays, I thought, why not?
Fair. Yeah, you know what? You got to respect where you came from, man.
Exactly. They've given me so much. They've given me, like, so much support, so I can't not, you know?
That's a plus. That's a plus to have that good support system. I mean, especially with you and all the big shit you're doing now, man. If you don't have a support system, you're kind of toast. You're usually like, oh, God, I'm going to go in my realm of emotions now, sort of thing.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, it's also just like, you know, everyone's kind of doing their own thing. I'm doing my own thing. You know, like Finn, my brother's shooting Ghostbusters right now. My parents are, you know, always, you know, making sure he's safe and, you know, taken care of, and he doesn't end up like one of those crazy, you know, child stars or whatever. And it's not like he will, obviously, because, you know, it's not like he started acting when he was a little kid. So, I don't know, that was really off topic for whatever reason. But yeah, what I'm trying to say is that we're all kind of doing our own things, and I've kind of had to, like I said, like kind of make my own friend group to kind of keep me company without my family down here. My family's home now, because they're on a short break right now. But it's going really well for me right now. You know, I'm still doing Last Kids. I'm still auditioning for stuff. I've got a TV pilot coming out that a couple of my friends are doing. Mm-hmm. It's not mine. I just voiced in it, but yeah. And then what else? Oh yeah, I had this really important business meeting the other day.
Don't you have those?
I'm doing stuff, and I'm trying to get down to the States to get, like, an O-1 and everything. So.
You're not in the States?
No, I'm in Vancouver.
I mean, the number did say that, too, but I'm like, well, I just know things are routed. Sometimes things are routed. I never know. Okay.
I'm lucky to be getting all these business. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good.
What were we going to say?
Oh, I was just saying it just surprised me that you're in Vancouver, but it also makes sense because, you know, because everything big is happening up there.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Hollywood North.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and if I've been interrupting you this whole time, sorry.
Dude.
I know that's like a no-no for podcast.
You're fine.
It's actually in front of me. Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. No, you're fine. I'd rather... No, you're good. You're good. You're good. It's tough. It's when it's on the phone call and whatnot and not in person. So, I mean, it's one of those things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's you're right. It's usually tougher. Vancouver's kind of like... It's called, like, Hollywood North because it's cheap to film here. And there's lots of voiceover opportunities down here, too. But I'm lucky to be getting all these business opportunities, man. Like, even outside of Vancouver, like, I recorded that pilot in Vancouver, but I only got that because I was talking to my friends about it for, like, me and Finn, we're like, talking to my friends about it for, like, 2 years prior.
Oh, shit.
So, we've known about this thing for, like, a couple years. And the only reason we're a part of it is because we've been talking about it for so long, and I'm good friends with these guys, and or we're good friends with these guys, so
that's cool.
That's fun, and yeah.
I mean, that's a good way to get it. I mean, to say the least, here, like honestly.
No, yeah, and also, you know, because I don't like to toot my own horn or anything, but you know, we're not just like, you know, blowing hot air either. We got like enough talent, luckily, to back it up.
Yes. Oh yeah.
But yeah, yeah. I don't want to name the names of, you know, the people who are in charge of the show, but
Ooh,
I will say that if you guys are listening to this, you guys are awesome. Not just because you gave us those roles, but because anytime I see you guys, you're all always so nice. You always want to talk, and you're just real cool people. So
that's always the best.
Yeah,
when you have good bosses, I think, on a film production of any kind, you know, because I've had bad, I've had good, I've had the mediocre, and, you know, it's, when you have the good, it really stands out, and it can really make you give a good performance. And I gotta say,
Nick. Yeah, exactly.
Nick, you, honestly, man, I don't know how the hell you did it, because when I was watching Last Kids on Earth, I read the books a little bit, too, and I was like, these are amazing. And then I saw the show, and I saw, well, episode one, or book one, and I'm like, holy shit, how long did Nick spend recording in this? Because you give so much dialogue, it's basically like the Nick Show.
Okay, so, ooh. I actually have a funny story about that ooh. I haven't told anyone. So, this part I think I have told people. So the first, we originally recorded Last Kids on Earth as three separate scripts. Three separate episodes.
Okay.
Yeah, and they decided, and the whole time I was actually thinking to myself, this would actually be a really good special. Like, you know, this all, like, flows together, like really well. Mm. And so we recorded all of those episodes within 3-4-hour sessions, and we did that, like, 3 days in a row. So and then once we finished those, I had to do I think I had to do pickups. And you know what I'll explain what pickups are for the audience. Basically, what pickups are they're basically lines of dialogue that the studio or, you know, maybe some of the writers might want to change, like in terms of, you know, content, in terms of continuity, what works better. Yeah. What doesn't. So, yeah, that, I recorded something insane, like, oh, man, I remember when I, because I hadn't really done, I hadn't really done pickups before then, mm-hmm. Because I'd never been on a show as big as this, like, beforehand. I've done stuff like Beyblade and My Little Pony, but Beyblade was, I was a rival character. My Little Pony, I just did some additional voices. And, you know, before that, I did, like, a movie, two movies. So there was no animated movie. So there was no need to really do any pickups. So when I did the pickups for the first time, I told, you know, my fellow voice actors and coworkers, not my fellow voice actors, but people I worked with. And I just remember Brian Drummond. I showed him how many pickups I had. He just looked at it like, ooh. And I was like, what? And he was like, good luck. And I was like, what do you mean, good luck? And he was just like, see you, dude. I was like, what do you mean, good luck? And I spent 3 hours screaming my butt off. Jeez. By myself. Oh, man, that was a day. Luckily, I haven't had to do that much since then.
Yeah, holy crap, hopefully.
I still have the most amount of pickups out of anyone because, I mean, obviously, you know, it comes with the job.
Yeah.
But we're now much more equal than we were before. But that special, man, that first special, oh, man, it was very, I'll say this, it was very tiring, but my God, was it satisfying to do. Like, it really felt like, because I was still in the same week where just the weekend before I found out I got the part, so it was,
oh shit,
it was so satisfying to just do all that dialogue, and just like, and you know, because doing all that dialogue just proves to you, like, you know, this is mine now, you know what I mean? This is like who I'm playing.
Yeah, you really get to play the character, and you're like, when you're finally there, like, it's one of those things, and the guy, Gabriel Luna, I believe was the name, he was Ghost Rider, and he's going to be the new Terminator, and the new Terminator movie coming out. He put out a thing, and I loved it, was the best way to look at what we do, because Ghost Rider's not coming anymore to Hulu, sadly. He's like, the best thing to think about it is, it's not complete until you're behind the mic or behind the camera, and then it becomes alive. And I'm like, that's beautiful, that's true, you know, like, you can say you're a character.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. My dad has said the same thing to me. Like, obviously, in order for, he'll say, like, you know, like, for Finn's projects more so than mine, but, you know, like, obviously, when you're in Hollywood, you get all sorts of offers that sometimes don't end up going through for whatever reason. Like, I remember originally he got It, and he was the only kid recast in It. But it got canceled because of creative differences between Cary Fukunaga and Warner Brothers. Mm. But I totally get that. It's like, nothing is done until it, even when it's greenlit. Like, I remember, Disney, so Disney bought Fox, and Fox was about to make this movie called The Mouse Guard, which is based off this really badass graphic novel series. That it's kind of like Game of Thrones, but with mice. Have you ever read or seen those series, Redwall? Like a bunch of mice, but it's kind of like medieval. It's like a novel series, but they also made an animated series. Anyway, it's kind of like that, and it looked so cool. And they made a test. The director, I think, leaked test footage for it. That was made in, I think it was made in Unreal Engine 4. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they were all ready to go. They were already working on it, actually. The cast was in the middle of getting their plane tickets together, I think. They were on their way. They were getting ready to do their recording. He gets a call in the middle of a day during lunch break or something that's like, hey, Disney just bought the studio. It's over. Oh. The project's done. And he was like, okay. So he had to put the phone down, and he had to, like, he said what he didn't want to tell everyone then, but he had to eventually, you know, spill the beans. Mm-hmm. You know what the worst part about that whole thing is, though? Is that they said that they could, like, shop it around, but that also means they'd have to pay the studio, like, a lot of money in order to give it. But the worst part is that he said, like, we have a whole hard drive full of, like, assets. We have a whole hard drive still made of materials to make the movie. We just need the green light, and that's just the worst.
Where the hell is it?
Because it's right there.
Yeah,
it's
like
right there.
I hate that shit so much.
It looks really cool. It looks really cool.
Oh my god.
But yeah, no, it like it even looks good in Unreal Engine, but it would look even better. Like, oh man, I don't know the studio making it. The studio who would have animated it, but they're like top notch. They make all the top CG, some of the best CG stuff in the industry, so that's like, again, point of the story is that's just a great example of like anything can happen.
Yeah,
you just don't know it, and all you can do is try your best and hope it works out for the best. And if not, hey, you, as long as you know that you did it and you were worthy enough of it, that's good enough for me. I remember when I was about to get Last Kids. And, you know, I was shortlisted, and I was thinking to myself, and I talked to my dad about this, I said, you know what, even if I didn't get the part, and I've spent 3 months on this show trying to, you know, get this part, I've spent 3 months doing callbacks, 3 months doing auditions, going back and forth, auditioning for it while I was in Dublin, I remember, or in Ireland, I had to send an MP3 over. I was like, at least I made it this far, you know?
At least you did.
I got shortlisted. Yeah. And he was like, yeah. And then I was like, literally the next morning, I got an email saying I got the part. And it was the most satisfying thing ever. So,
Jesus. I mean,
I think as long as you work hard for it and it's totally out of your control, like, you earned it, you know? It's like you did it.
That's the best mentality, I think, have with it, man. Like,
yeah, honestly. Like, no one can take that away from you.
No, it's not really like you can say at least you did it. Hey, folks at home, this is your host, Dakota, here with a little bit of an ad break. Do you guys like the Comic Chronicle podcast, and do you like getting in-depth interviews with people of, moreover, not interviews, but conversations with people in the businesses? Well, guess what? If you love film and television, go check out the Film World podcast that I host on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and filmworld.podbean.com, because I get to talk to people all over from the business of film and TV, of actors, creature actors, writers, directors, cinematographers, all these people, VFX artists, hell, they all come onto the show. We give in-depth conversations about what they do. People from Jurassic World, Planet of the Apes, Transformers, Godzilla, numerous times, you know, and voice actors, and we give all these in-depth conversations with you guys from all sorts of ranges of different things on the Film World podcast. So if you guys like the Comic Chronicle podcast, you'll probably like Film World. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the show. And now back to the conversation at hand. Like, there was a Last Kids on Earth is on Netflix, and I can't say too much. I can say I gave an audition with him, but I can't say for what. I gave an audition for him here in Arizona, and they were here, and I gave an audition for him, and it's one of those things where I've been working in film and television for about 2 years now, doing numerous shorts, commercials, all this different shit. And people are like, well, what if you don't get the part from Netflix? This could be a big break. I'm like, I don't care. I at least got to sit down and give an audition to these producers. So it's like, if I don't get it, so what? I can still be like, I auditioned for these guys. And so there's that. And I won't find out for another, like, few days. But it's still one of those scenes where if you can at least say you did it, or at least you tried, that's still something. And you can still be like, I attempted, and I didn't succeed all the way, but I got halfway. It's still feet above what other people are doing, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, what's even better than that is that you're now on their radar.
Yeah, like, that's true.
I remember, I have an American agent. I'm with Abrams in the U.S., and, like, I'm SAG eligible, but I'm not actually with SAG, and I can't work down in the United States yet because I don't have an O-1. I'm in the process, I think, I'm about to enter the process of getting one, but, like, there was a point in time where I just got sent out to audition after audition after audition after audition, and I was worried, and I was thinking to myself, I probably should have gotten a part right by now, right? And I asked my LA agent about it, and he basically told me, he was like, well, you technically can't get any parts. And I was like,
what?
Oh. And he was like, yeah, the whole purpose of me sending you all for all these auditions is so that you could get your name out there to all these different studios. And I was like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. And it's good that, you know, it's good to get my name out there so that more people know, you know, who I am. And, it's great because I remember getting multiple auditions from a lot of the same, you know, some of the same people, a couple separate times. So that's really good. And, you know, it's honestly the best thing to do, even if you don't get the part, is just get your name out there. Make sure people know who you are. Make sure they know you're talented.
Yeah.
And that's really the best. Trying your best is really honestly the best any of us can do. I know that's kind of cliched to say, but it's the truth.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, we're in a tough business, man. It's one of those where you have to do what you can, and you have to try your best. You always have to give it your best, because if you don't, you fall behind or whatnot. But we do it also because we love doing it. Like, I don't know how did you get started, and what was your thing? What's your origin story, Nick, of, like, how did you get started with acting and whatnot? Was it, like, a movie thing? Because I'm curious. I like to know a little bit of people's origins. Like, what really got you into acting, man?
So I was in middle school. Well, actually, no, I wasn't. I was just entering high school. I was in grade 10. I was a freshman. Grade 10 is high school. It starts at grade 9 for America, right? Grade 9 is high school for the U.S.?
Yes. I want to say yes. We just graduated, like, not too long ago,
so
but yeah.
Grade 10 is freshman for us. And I was at a point where I hated school so much. I still do. There was nothing for me there.
Yeah.
Like, the only things I liked about it were some of the teachers and my friends, and I'm like, well, I can just visit them anytime I want. So it's like, there's nothing for me at school. So anyway, I remember, like, I was in a rough spot. I was going through this is going to sound really dumb, but going through a bit of, like, an early life crisis. You know, I just entered high school. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life at that point. I had a couple ideas, but none of which that I think I would probably have had the drive to actually, you know, accomplish. So I was like, oh, God. And so, you know, I remember getting really sick near the beginning of grade 10. And I was like, all right. And then I remember getting recommended an anime series called Gurren Lagann. And it's an anime series made... Do you know about Gurren Lagann?
No, I don't. It sounds really cool, metal as hell, but I have no idea what it is.
It's made by the same studio who made Neon Genesis Evangelion. Oh, you know that one? That one's a pretty famous one.
That I love. Yes. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Okay, so it's the same studio. So Gurren Lagann, the same people who made Gurren Lagann also made Kill la Kill, Ooh. Which is that series about the girl with the scissor blade. Yes. You know, the red scissor blade sword. Yeah. They made that, and they also made a new movie, which is out in theaters now, called Promare. Anyway, so I watched that show, and I basically fell in love with the entire show and its message. And to this day, it's still one of my favorite TV shows of all time. The whole show's message is basically, listen, you want to do something? Go for it. Throw logic to the wayside. If you want it, do it. And hey, if you hit rock bottom, if you don't succeed, there is literally nowhere you can go except up. It was exactly what I needed at that point in my life. Like, it was the most positive, most, like, just upbringing series ever. And you know what? There was also some tragedy in there, too. And I was thinking to myself, oh, yeah, I've been, you know, not to that extent, but I've been through those, like, rough times. And it's like, they, you know, they basically said, like, listen, this person may be gone, but guess what? You still have a responsibility. You can become just like them, but your own, you know, individual, like, version of that. You cannot let this one thing make you give up on what you want to do and how you want to do it. So, dude. Watching that series, I remember to myself, I was like, hey, I really liked cartoons and anime. Yeah. Like, I loved doing voices as a kid. I loved to do all these different things. And my parents told me recently, like, they said I wanted to be a cartoon character as a kid. I literally told them that, so I was thinking to myself, I gotta take some voiceover classes. I gotta do it. So I took some voiceover classes, and then, you know what, it might have been 2012, actually. Yeah, I think it might have been. It might have been, like, September of 2012, I'm pretty sure it was.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, so I around the time I started watching that series, I decided I wanted to go out for voiceover classes because it's something I wanted to do, because my parents thought it was a good idea, and the show just kept making me more and more pumped up to do this. And I took a class with Kirby Morrow, who's kind of my mentor. He was Goku in the Ocean dub of Dragon Ball Z, the Canadian dub. He's in LEGO Ninjago. He's that's done all kinds of stuff.
That's a mentor to have.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah. So when I was confident enough, I made a voiceover demo. I got really lucky with my agent, and I got my first gig about, like, around March of 2014. So, like, I got really lucky. I only did two auditions, and I got my first gig after my second audition. It was like...
Jesus.
It was meant to be. And... I also got really lucky with my agent too, because Kirby also hooked me up with his, because I was able to, you know, I was able to do a bunch of voices for him in his studio, and he just wanted me to, you know, prove myself while I was there. So I did the reads, everything he wanted, and he wanted to get with me. So, I mean, he wanted to, you know, hire me. So, or represent me.
Yeah.
So, it's a mix of, my origin story is just a mix of passion, luck, and over time, I guess, talent. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I guess you could say you're talented.
And it's all thanks to Kamina. Thank you, Kamina. It's not all thanks to Kamina. Thank you. What I'm saying right now is going to make no sense unless you've seen the series, but yeah, anyway.
I've not seen the series, but... that honestly, man, I'm not gonna lie to you, is a fucking beautiful origin story. Believe it or not, it's gonna sound cliche. I do relate hard to that of having that like young life crisis around a year later than you did. With 11th grade, it was around then when everything started for me. But with that show, I guess you. Is there ever going to be a tribute to you or something like that, some related to it with that show coming up? Like, there should be something.
Well, that's just... No. Well... Oh, God, no. God, no. I hope not.
The fan art is now coming, man. You know this.
Even if there was, Gainax is not doing anything these days in terms of anime productions, as far as I know. Everyone who made that show is now at Studio Trigger.
Oh.
which is, they made, that's where they made Kill la Kill, and that's where they made this new series, Promare, or Promare. And they also made a series called Little Witch Academia. Studio Trigger is one of my favorite studios. You don't get, and I love Promare, because I saw it in the theater recently, and I teared up during Promare at scenes I shouldn't have, and I wasn't sad, I wasn't, like, overtly happy, and I figured out, I think why I teared up during those scenes. It's because there is literally no other company that can give you the same amount of, like, passion as the people at Studio Trigger. They, like, it's unbelievable just, like, how much, like, sheer just raw emotion they put into all of their productions. Like, what's great is Promare, basically what it does is, it's like, it's a great movie on its own, but if you've seen, like, previous productions from the people who've made this, you'll notice, like, all these different little, all these different little references and all these different little tributes, but also, you know, there's also stuff in there that's not even, like, tributes. There's stuff in there that are tropes that they themselves are, like, the creators of. Like, do you know about the Gainax pose?
Yeah.
You do know about the Gainax pose?
Yes. Okay. That's the struck a memory all of a sudden. I'm like, yeah, wait a minute. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Okay, so the Gainax pose is basically that pose where it's like, you have your, like, the character in the anime kind of has their legs kind of split, and they have their arms crossed, and they got their head kind of tilted down, and they look, like, really determined. Yeah. So I was, there's a Gainax pose in the movie a couple times. There is, you know, they put that in there. They put a Kill la Kill reference in there. Oh. There's the main character's name in Kill la Kill is named Ryuko Matoi.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in the movie, there are these suits called Matoi suits. On top of that, there's in Gurren Lagann, the main, like, you know, the main weapons in Gurren Lagann, the big plot point are drills.
Ooh.
Like, big, giant drills. And there's this great, like, drilling scene in Promare, where it's, you know, absolutely a reference.
That's cool.
But that's kind of where the references to those other series kind of end, besides, you know, the kind of mech suit, and besides, like, the giant, the point where the robot gets, like, massive. But, I'm not going to say any other spoilers. I don't want to spoil the movie. You guys should all watch it.
Fair enough. I'll probably go check it out. That's good.
You totally should. It's awesome. And, oh, man, the music, too. The music really helps. It's composed by Hiroyuki Sawano. He composed Attack on Titan.
Yes.
He also composed Kill la Kill. He's one of my favorite composers. It also had a little bit of a Gainax ending too, actually.
How?
Now that I think about it.
Well, don't say how.
You know what a Gainax ending is.
We can't spoil anything for people right now, man.
No! I'm not gonna say what the ending is. But do you know what a Gainax ending is?
Vaguely, I'm trying to remember. I'm honestly an anime fan, but I've been slacking lately. I'm trying to catch up on anime slowly but surely. It's like, damn it.
Okay. All right. So I'm not gonna say anything, obviously. But I'm going to say that if you know what a Gainax ending is, you will not be disappointed. Or you will be, depending on what you think about Gainax ending. So, yeah, anyway.
Do you know what this proves to me, though? Do you know what this proves to me, though, Nick? This proves that you need to make your own anime coming out.
Oh, God.
Come on!
If there's anything I've learned, there is, like, I can count on my fingers how many Westerners have been successful with Japanese anime adaptations. I'm serious. One of which is LaShawn Thomas, actually. Shout out to LaShawn Thomas. That guy is awesome.
Yes.
He has a series out right now called Cannon Busters. And before he worked on Cannon Busters, he worked on The Boondocks. He worked on Legend of Korra. Right. Probably some other stuff that I just can't remember numerous things. Yeah. There's this French artist that worked on Space Dandy. He does, like, mech designs. I can't really think of anyone else. But, yeah, if you're talking just, like, series that are in the style of anime, then that's a lot easier. That's a lot of... there's this great-looking one coming out on Netflix. I don't remember what it's called, but it's set in Mexico, and it's, like, it's kind of, like, supernatural.
Oh, shit.
And it's, like, a mix of... Yeah, it's made by... I think it's called Powerline Studios. Powerhouse Animation.
I think Powerhouse. That sounds like the right name of the studio.
Powerhouse, yeah. They made Castlevania.
Yes.
Yeah, and so they're making this new series, and that looks great. I'm going to check that out. If I ever make a series, I want to hire them.
Oh, fuck it. Yeah. There's no way in hell you can. I mean, Castlevania itself, I've watched it. It is beautiful in every damn way. It's insane to me how good it is.
And
I can't. I mean, there's so much we could. There's a whole. That's Castlevania could be a whole fucking podcast. Like, just talking about it.
Exactly. Do you know about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure? Speaking of Castlevania, you know what JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is?
I've seen a little bit of it. I've seen a little bit. I haven't been able to sit down fully and watch it at all or anything, but I've seen a little bit of it, yeah.
So JoJo and Castlevania are actually very similar in that it's like, you know, it's the same villain, you know, Dracula and Dio. Even when Dio's not around, there's someone that's always, you know, attached, you know, to Dio's, like, legacy or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Always affected by Dio. Even if they don't know they're affected by Dio. So, but it always has a new character. However, they're always from the same bloodline. So, you know, the Belmont family, the Joestar family. And, yeah, like, you know, JoJo, it takes place over the course of, like, over 100 years. So, like, for example, part one takes place in 1890, and part six takes place in 2012. So, I mean,
Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a long haul. But it's all written over the course of, well, it's still being written. Part eight's going on right now, and the part five anime adaptation just finished, which was very, very good. But yeah, I thought I'd make that in comparison. I think the best part about the Castlevania anime, or the series, whatever you want to call it, is that I remember hearing about it. Oh man, I remember hearing about it a year before it was officially announced, because the producer, is like really famous. I think it's part of his marketing tactic. He's really famous for making stuff without people's permission.
Oh,
he made the Power
shit.
Rangers fan movie.
Really?
Yeah, you remember that super R-rated Power Rangers fan film?
Yeah, which was amazing. I really dug it. Yeah.
Yeah. So he likes to call it his bootleg universe. So I remember a year before Castlevania Netflix was announced, I saw all these articles saying unauthorized Castlevania series in development by Power Rangers fan film creator.
Ooh.
And I was like, what? What do you mean? How is that possible? How do you do that?
Yeah.
And then a year later, I said Netflix picks up an unauthorized Castlevania fan film, makes a deal with Konami. I'm like, oh, okay. And now he's doing a Devil May Cry animated series.
Oh, and that's got me so hyped. And that's a hell of a way to do it, though. If you're gonna make something, do it that way, and then you get the job. I guess I don't know.
Yeah. Oh. It makes me curious about which game they're going to start. I hope they start with 3, because 3 is my favorite story in the series. I love 5, too. Have you played any of the Devil May Cry's?
Oh, fuck. Everyone but the last one, because I want to take a week off from everything and play it.
5 is so good. 5 is, like, if you're talking just gameplay-wise, 3, I think, still is the best story-wise, but 5 is the best gameplay-wise, hands down.
Oh, fuck. You know what? I blame my severe Devil May Cry addiction to my father. Shout out to you, Dad, Jason, because he used to play it all the time. I was always transfixed. Like, hey, let me play it. And I did. I was like, it's my crack. it's like, I love it. But I don't have the time to play, because the problem is it's one of those games where, and you gotta know this, is when you start it, you don't want to stop. You know, and you're just like, I can't take it. I'll take a stop.
I streamed Devil May Cry 3 for like, uh, I, st- streamed the whole game. I streamed, like, and I did, like, 4-hour streams of that game.
Jeez.
Almost every time I streamed it. And I there was points where I just did not want to stop playing. No. 5 even more so. 5 is so addicting. 5 is one of the best hack and slash games I've ever played. I think the only thing that rivals it is Bayonetta 2, which actually, the creator of Bayonetta made the first Devil May Cry game. So, there's that. Yeah.
That's some knowledge. I mean,
Hideki.
I'm thinking about this, Nick, is maybe, just maybe, if the right people listen to this, maybe you can get attached to Devil May Cry.
Oh, man, I hope so.
That'd be amazing.
Oh, dude, that would be so sick.
Yeah, right, like you're thinking.
I don't want to take, oh, no, because, listen, what? As much as I love Devil May Cry, I don't want to take those roles away from literally, you know, anyone that's voiced them before. Like, Virgil, you can't not have the actor who plays Virgil play Virgil. You can't not have Ruben Langdon not play Dante. That's like those characters. You can't have Johnny Yong Bosk not play Nero. Like, he's, he's, like, perfect. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want,
maybe.
Unless they make, like, new characters, I don't want to take those roles away from them, because those are the voices. I don't want to do it.
No.
I'm not going to say what, but I remember one of the auditions I did for my LA agent, actually, was for a series that didn't have the original voice actor attached, because if that person was, I wouldn't be auditioning for it.
Oh.
So I did the audition, and I remember finishing the audition, I was like to myself, I was like, this doesn't feel right. Like, I feel guilty about doing this.
You feel like you're cheating on
somebody's
life.
I still gave it my all, but I was like, I don't know. Luckily, the voice of that character got their part back.
Oh, thank God.
Future endeavors. So thank God, because they are that character.
Hey, folks. Dakota here with a little bit of an ad break for you guys today. Do you guys like reading comics? Obviously, if you listen to the show, you do. What the fuck am I talking about? Then you guys, if you're in Arizona, which a good majority of the fan base is, shout out to the ones in Canada though, you guys can go to Drawn to Comics in Glendale, Arizona, located at 5801 West Glendale Avenue in Glendale, Arizona. I gotta say, folks, I've been going here for a long time now. I've been to a few different comic book stores in Arizona in my 6 years of living here so far, and this may change due to the recording nature, but whatever. So I love going to Drawn to Comics. I really do. Ken, who runs it, is amazing, fucking laid-back dude. He's a wonderful guy. He's been on the show, ladies and gentlemen, before. And it's a really fun place to pick up the book. So Drawn to Comics in Glendale, Arizona, get yourself a box, you know? Go in, maybe just check it out. It's a fun place to escape into. All the workers there are fucking wonderful folks. They really are. It's just like family at this point, at least they're for me. And it's a fun world to go into. There's collectibles there. There's toys. There's comics. You know, and you just get your box and reserve some books and whatnot. We've had people on the show who've written and drawn comics, you know. Go in and pick up their work, folks. Jesus Christ. It ain't that difficult. So go to Drawn the Comics in Glendale, Arizona, folks. You guys can check them out also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks, everyone. Now back to the show. Please.
No.
Whenever I hear somebody, I've never had that happen to me yet. I have not had that happen. Never been able to say I've had that experience. But to me, when people talk about it, it sounds like, oh my God, I feel like I was cheating with somebody's girlfriend or their wife or something like that. Like, I know the guy, and it's like, aha. It's like, no, I don't want to do that. It feels dirty.
It feels a lot like that. Like, I feel like I actually feel guilty when I audition for roles that are like basically replacement roles. I'm like, I don't want to do that. I know them. I've played their stuff. I like how they're... I don't want to portray a character that I fell in love with, you know?
Exactly. Like, oh, God, exactly.
It feels dirty, but at the same time, I'm thinking to myself, like, well, I mean, I think it's... I don't know. As long as maybe I treat the character with respect, and... But then at the same time, it's like... Well, it wouldn't, you know, the fans would be mad, and I'm also a fan, and it'd be like, it'd be weird. It's mixed. I have mixed feelings about it, but at the same time, I'm always going to try my best with it, and I'm always going to try my best to, you know, I can't not give my all, because I feel like I betrayed myself if I don't, you know, give it my all, so it's like all or nothing.
It's like puberty. It's a mixed bag of emotions. You just don't know what to feel. You're like, damn it.
You know about when 4Kids got, you know, like 4Kids lost the rights to the Pokemon series and they had to do like a complete recast?
Yeah. There are people
that are still not over that and have just been watching like the subbed version ever since.
Really?
So, that's just to give you a good idea of how much these voices and characters mean to people.
Oh god! I mean, yeah, it's just
yeah. I remember they did the. I was reading an interview with James Arnold Taylor and David Kaye. Oh, shout out to those guys, by the way. They're awesome.
Majorly.
They're the voices of Ratchet and Clank, and they were doing an interview for the movie, and they were saying like they were worried that they were going to get recast by celebrities and Insomniac. Basically, I think they said Insomniac came to them and they were like, "Listen, don't worry, we're recasting you guys. We know how much the voices mean to the fans and the characters and stuff like that." So, we're not going to do any recast. I'm like, that's the way to do it, you know?
Oh, I would have rioted.
Like, if you want to, yeah, absolutely. It's like the SpongeBob movie, for example. Like, you got to have Tom Kenny, you know? You got to have Roger Bumpass.
You do.
Clancy Brown.
If you don't have
them, it's not SpongeBob.
No. And speaking of Tom Kenny, by the way, he recently reached a new level with me that I never knew he could play such a, like, a complete 360 around from SpongeBob. You know of his one of his recent roles? It's actually a Netflix series too. I think season 2 is coming. If I remember, Super PD. No, not Super PD. Paradise PD. Paradise PD.
That's right. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
He was in. That's made by the guys who made Brickleberry. He was in that too.
Yeah, it's. So, I mean, so it really should tell you, this guy knows his shit and he can give you a good character. Don't mess with his characters. Yeah. Like, you just don't, it's one of those things where if you want the fans, don't change shit. That's like, I don't even know what an acceptable thing is. Here's one. That's like coming in, for Rise of Skywalker, we're recasting Luke Skywalker. What? Why?
No, you can't. You can't do that. No, you can't do that.
No.
Do you remember when everyone was super mad about the Star Wars Special Editions and how, like, no offense to Hayden Christensen. I actually think Hayden Christensen's a great actor. But do you remember when the Special Edition for Episode 6 came out, they replaced the original actor with Darth Vader Hayden Christensen?
Yeah.
And it made no sense story-wise because it's like, how would Luke know who that is?
Yeah.
He wouldn't know who that is. He'd be like, wait, who's that? You know?
It's true.
That makes sense.
Oh, there's been so many spoof cartoons with that too. It's amazing what they've done with that. Oh man. Jeez. So we're nearing the end here, man. I definitely got to say is because I know people will be like, "Well, what the fuck? You didn't talk about it." Is can you give an experience for the Last Kids on Earth? This is please fans and whatnot out there who are like, "Well, what the hell? I never really talked about it," sort of thing. Because we don't want riots.
Oh, God, yeah, I'm sorry. We never talked about it.
I just thought about that. Okay. Like, oh shit.
Okay. All right. I can give you an experience. Okay. So, okay. Have you guys ever played the game Zombies Ate My Neighbors? So hang on. Let me think. All right. If you guys like Zombies Ate My Neighbors, if you guys like the series Codename Kids Next Door, if you like the Monster Hunter series, there's a great variety of monsters in the show, and the designs are only going to keep getting better, and they're only going to keep getting more, you know, advanced and, like, varied. What else? There was another, like, great comparison. If you guys like Scott Pilgrim, highly recommend this, too.
Yeah.
This is, like, because this show actually has Edgar Wright-style editing in it. Like, you know, like, you flash to one scene, flash to another. Yeah. It's, like, great, these great editing shots. But there is honestly, there's so much to love here. There's action. Obviously the main focus is comedy, but it's also not afraid to, you know, kind of like get dramatic here and there. I think Jack himself is a very interesting character because even though he's the hero, like, it is such a weird, like, there's really, I don't think, you know, like, if this was any other premise, Jack wouldn't be, like, in my opinion, that, like, I don't want to say that special, but, like, it wouldn't be as unique as it is because this is the zombie apocalypse. Almost everyone is dead.
Yeah.
And yet, Jack is the happiest he's ever been because life was just awful beforehand. It was just boring. fact that that is a main protagonist is so unique. I love that. And, like, you know, he gets, like, all his friends together, you know, he kind of makes, like, a family of his own because people kept abandoning him over and over again, you know, as a kid. It's, like, the first thing that's, like, kind of ever, first interesting thing that's ever happened to him before. And, you know, it's, that we got more seasons coming. Season two, or I guess technically season one, comes out next year. And, yeah, no, I think really people are really going to like it. Also, the animation, gorgeous. And I think it's only going to get more gorgeous from here on out. So
it's that's
my thoughts on the series.
Which is beautiful thoughts, because I honestly agree 100%, man, because I rewatched it beforehand. I was like, let me sit down. I'm going to drink a can of Dr. Pepper and eat some Twizzlers. I'm not being paid by the sponsors whatsoever. But it's like, all right, this is my food, eating, drinks, and sit down and whatnot. And I was like, this show is so good. Like, Jack is a really good, no blown steam or anything like that. It's the truth of Jack is such a cool character. And if that stuff actually damn happened back in my town that I lived in Illinois for a long time, for like 16 years, growing up, that would be me and my best friends. I'm still friends to this day. And I was like, hey guys, this is us. if this shit happened, we were like, well, let's go to a warehouse. Nah, we're singing the treehouse. It's like, it's like your friends. Like, it's really what, and it's, I relate hard as a single guy, I guess you could say, of we're going to find the damsel in distress. And it's like Zombieland almost, in the sense of like, here's your feats. It's like, okay.
That was it. That was the comparison. Zombieland. Okay, that's the other one I was thinking of that I couldn't think of. Yes, Zombieland is by far another great comparison. But yes, that's true. And then, And well, the funny thing is that obviously you learn that like, if we're talking just, like, physically, June is probably... What I like about June is that June is, like, the most, like, together member of the crew in terms of just, like, physically she is, like, by far, like, the most superior. But I think emotionally, she is probably the most vulnerable out of all of them. Like, yeah. And you kind of see what I mean if you watch the special or if you like read like the books. But yeah, I just love how all the characters kind of like have this layer, you know, like Jack is, you know, he likes to act like this cool like type when in reality he's actually like, he's very lonely and he does that so he can put on like a facade. Like I kind of like, you know, and he kind of wants like everyone to, he doesn't want to be alone again basically.
He thinks he's
McClane from Die Hard, when in reality he's kind of more of a Shinji from Neon Genesis Evangelion. I think I said something like that in an interview once, but
oh, that's beautiful.
And then you have Quint, who is, you know, he has all these great ideas and all these great inventions, but because, you know, the world is this way it is, he's not able to make full use of his potential. But now that the world is, he is able to use the full use of his potential. And then you have Dirk, who is, you know, he started off as a bully, but he's actually like the nicest guy ever. Like,
it's true.
He's super down to earth. He is super like the sweetest dude. He'll always have your back if you have his. It's like, and then, you know, you have June, who is a lot like Jack in that she, you know, but like the opposite in terms of their facades. Like, June's facade is she's super serious. Jack's facade is he's super goofy. But in reality, I think they're very similar to each other deep down. But I think June is even more vulnerable than Jack is, because Jack at least can, like, you know, kind of like keep up the like facade like as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But for June, it's a little bit of a different story. There's a, I don't want to say anything because, you know, I don't know what I'm allowed to say and not say, but there's some great stuff in the first season that you're really, I think people are really going to enjoy, and it's really going to add some depth to these characters.
God,
yeah.
I honestly, it threw me away. Like, I love the books. I love the graphic novels that they were, and I love those. And the show just threw me away. I was like, when I first watched it, when it first came out, when it dropped, I was like, all right, let's sit and watch this. Like, this is really, this is fun. This is, these characters are people like, oh, it's a kid's cartoon. Like, kind of not, in the sense of these guys have way more emotions than you think they would. And it's like, all right, I dig this. I'm supporting. I want to see where they go.
Yeah, no, it starts, like, the whole point of the book one is basically to just introduce the characters, but I will say that what I can say is that the characters are much deeper than they portray themselves to be in the special, because you're gonna learn, you got, everyone will learn.
If somebody dies, but, yeah. I will send an email to you and be like, why, Nick, why?
No, nothing, don't worry, nothing like that,
I'll cry.
Man, it's the zombie apocalypse. You gotta survive. You know what I mean? Like,
it's true. Well, not just zombies.
No one dies.
Okay. Yeah, you have kaiju running around, dude.
I'm probably been keeping you as. For too long as it is.
No, but. you're good. We're coming near the time anyway. Definitely want to say, man, thank you so much. This has been a fucking blast having you on, by the way. Like, thank you for coming on, Nick.
Well, thanks, man. I really appreciate it, yeah.
And we got to do a thing. I always have to do it. I've signed contracts saying I got to do it. Where can they find you at on social media, man?
You can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/thewolfhard. I stream lots of video games there. I've been talking a lot about video games this whole podcast, so if you want to see me talk over video games and attempt to be entertaining, I do it there. if you want to follow me on Instagram, I'm at TheWolfHard. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I am Nick_WolfHard. So I'm sure if you just type in Nick Wolfhard and you see the one with the most amount of followers, you'll find me.
Wow.
Still trying to get that verification. So, because I've had problems in the past where, you know, people, like, impersonate me or my parents or whatever, and it's like, I have a friend who basically said, like, verification really just means nothing anymore in terms of its, like, original goal. You know, its original goal was to verify that you are the actual person, not now a bot, and now it's, like, more of a status symbol, and I'm just like, obviously it's great for business and stuff, but it's like, I just want it so that I can be verified, and I just want it so that people know it's me.
Yeah.
Just so it's easier. Yeah.
Shit, I haven't had that problem yet. I've only had the problem of weird fans, and that's it. So, luckily no one's impersonating me. I don't think anybody wants to, so that's kind of nice.
It's just because, you know, it gets to the point where, you know, there's like fan pages and there's, you know, people impersonating, and it's just, there gets so many different accounts with, you know, your name on it that it gets to a point where, like, all right, you gotta let people know that this is the real one, you know what I mean? Sorry to hear about the fan interactions, but, I'm happy where I am right now in terms of popularity, because I don't want to get too popular.
Fair enough.
That's part of the reason why I became a voice actor. I like being behind the mic, and I like, you know, I like talking to people at, like, conventions and stuff, and, like, you know, sometimes on the street there just happens to be someone who recognizes me. Oh, that reminds me.
Ooh, yeah.
If you were at New York Comic Con this year, we are going to be doing a Last Kids on Earth New York Comic Con panel on Sunday. Yeah, it is going to be in the same. I don't remember which ballroom it's in, but it's going to be in the same ballroom as the Dragon Prince, which is another Netflix series. As well as right before us, there is going to be the final episode, I believe, of the English dub version of Dragon Ball Super, which is going to be hosted by Patrick Seitz, is also the English voice of Dio from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, so we all come full circle. Patrick Seitz is awesome. Do you know him?
I do not know him personally. I know who he is, but I don't know him personally, no.
He is one of the best. He's like, in my opinion, he's probably, like, one of the best voice actors in the industry, I think. He's really, really good.
You've put that out there. Acting. You're going to get so many comments now. People will be like, well, sir, we have here to let you know. And it's like, wait, no.
Well, I mean, just if we're talking just, like, in terms of, like, sheer raw passion, in terms of, like, sheer just raw, like, anger, or just, like, There's very few that come close to what Patrick Seitz can do. Terms of, like, you really hear, like, you when he screams and he yells and he gets angry in his roles, you really believe, like, he's about to kill somebody. Like, he's one of the best, like, anime dub voice actors out there, for sure. He also does video games. He was in Devil May Cry 5. He played Crew Cut. As he is, he doesn't have a name, but that's what Nero calls him, so all the fans just call him Crew Cut. He says, cheer up, Crew Cut, and I'm like, yeah, Crew Cut. Anyway.
That's cool. All right, man, well, we're going to end it. Folks at home, definitely make sure you guys go watch Last Kids on Earth on Netflix right now. Book one, the rest season coming next year?
That's right.
Sweet, next year, folks. If you guys want to follow me,
and we've got an interactive special coming too. So there's
ooh,
that.
Okay, definitely have to keep an eye out for that. If you guys want to follow me, you can follow me on @DakotaMorgan3 on Twitter or @Dakota_Morgan97 on Instagram. And by the way, Nick, you have yourself a new Twitch follower, because now that I know you're on Twitch, I'm gonna watch you on there, because I do like going on Twitch every now and then.
Hey, thank you very much, dude.
Sweet, no problem. And any final words of the fans out there, man?
You got, okay, sure. I have words of the great Bill and Ted, which is, be excellent to each other, and party on, dudes!
Glorious.